sure.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Welcome, game 14, Loopers for Life. Been about probably about 2 weeks since we've been in the studio.
It hadn't been 5 weeks. No,
I was going to say 5 days, but it really hasn't been 14 days. It's been about 10 days. 2 weeks. A lot of things have happened in the golf world, but excited to be back in studio here for game 14, powered by Talgrace Marketing and Media. What a fantastic studio. Check out there on their website. Look them, do a lot of marketing, and not just in the podcast world, just in the
web world. So I wanted to mention that. So one of the things that we do that's kind of interesting is we can do some really targeted social marketing. So like if you have a certain demographic that you want to get your eyeballs in front of, let's say that you're a golfer, like
the Golf Academy.
Well, exactly. Right. And then we can go, the thing that's cool about what we can do is we can target somebody that was actually on a golf course that previous week.
Right.
Whether you know it or not, Facebook's following you around. And it knows where you've been. So I can say,
I'm in trouble.
I want somebody that has set foot, and you know what? And I'll take Joey out. So I don't want anybody that's been on French Lick, or I don't want anybody that's been on a certain course. We can crazy target that kind of stuff. So it's kind
of I know you do a fantastic job for us and all of our platforms and our social media, and you know we're very fortunate at the Golf Academy to have a partnership with you, and then just parlay it into the Loopers for Life.
Sure.
And get my co-host and great friend here, Joey Sears.
Yeah, I wasn't so worried about being on a golf course. It was more like the Rustic Frog.
Is Rustic Frog still around?
Yeah. This guy and his Olympic
pole dancing.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Why can't we get pole dancing in the Olympics?
He's looking for Olympic sports.
Have you seen how talented those girls are?
Uh-huh. I've got a Rustic Frog story. Should we tell that?
No,
probably. We probably shouldn't tell that.
That is at the end of the thing. I mean, the last time we were on air, we were fortunate enough to have the Monday Q info guy.
Yeah.
And Ryan was a fantastic guest. And really kind of gave us some insight into the Barbasol and everything that has happened in golf in Kentucky. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on. He actually went and caddied for a Kentucky guy.
Billy Tom Sargent, yes.
At the 3M Open. Yeah. And, you know, and guess what else? Steven Stallings won the Monday qualifier for the 3M Open.
Shot 61.
61.
Yeah. Did he make the cut, though?
Hey, he made the cut in Barbasol, and I picked him.
That guy did not make the cut.
No, I was just curious. I was just asking.
I thought you were salting something.
No, because he shot, what, like 60 or something the Monday
qualifier? Who has the best salt on their chips?
Salsaritas.
I mean, their chips, those speaking of the Stallings, I'm looking out there right now, Miss Stallings, I appreciate everything that you do for the game of golf. Whenever you want to sponsor Loopers for Life, you just let us know. But they're I love those lime chips.
Hey, so
no, he did. He made the cut in the Barbasol,
He played well.
Actually, we had some local guys. Trey Shirley made the cut. Barbasol,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But I don't in the 3M. I'm not sure he got through in the 3M. But,
no, he did not make the cut at the 3M.
But you know what, his game is.
But he was on fire, man. Because he was either 60 or 61 in qualifiers.
He's had a fantastic year. I mean,
shot 29 play, on one side.
Qualify for any tour event, but he's qualified for a couple, has been invited to play in a couple, and has performed well on the big stage.
Yes.
There's no doubt that kid can play.
He's got a big future, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in Kentucky golf. I mean, we had the Barbasol that was here. We've also had, a PGA Tour event this week, the Kentucky Open out at Persimmon Ridge. And then we have the Olympics with the number one player from, in America, Justin Thomas, playing, captaining the four-person Olympic team, even though they're not playing as a team, but just a lot of things going on in the bluegrass. And what do y'all think about the Kentucky Open?
Well, I think it's great. It's the 50th year anniversary of Mo Demling winning.
There you go.
Wildwood, where he made a 40-foot putt. And then you got his grandson, Brendan Doyle, leading the tournament with a course record.
Right. Well, he's co-leading the tournament.
I thought co-leading. I'm sorry. Co-leading.
Yeah,
with
you can't
Clay.
Forget about Clay.
Yeah, can't forget about
Clay. 7-under is straight getting it done.
You know, I thought they said that was a course record, and I actually texted Jesse Mudd about this. I thought Jesse shot 64 out there, but
there's going to be a 63 out there.
But apparently it was a 66 years ago in the United Healthcare tournament. But Brendan Doyle did not hit but one driver yesterday.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he probably didn't hit anything over the over a 7-iron either.
He had a 2-iron.
Wow.
2-iron.
Or 2-driving iron.
2-iron and a wedge. Yes. I mean, you know, and that's the thing about Persimmon Ridge right now. I mean,
it's
firm
short,
and fast, and it's just short. I mean,
and the greens
that
were
golf
soft,
course, when it first opened, that golf course was, without a doubt, the hardest golf course.
When it first opened.
No doubt.
When it first opened, they hosted the State Am and then the Kentucky Open. So 1991 or 89, they opened in 89, I believe. So they hosted the Kentucky Open in 90 or the Am in 90 and then 91. So Chris Haas played at University of Louisville, who's a guy I played golf with, lost every golf ball in his bag and had to withdraw. There was no houses out there back
in
those days.
So if you missed, heather everywhere.
Yeah,
there
was, if you missed, if you know,
you missed outside the car path, it was going into.
Yeah, I think
the
he shot. I think the lowest round the first day like was something like Gary Hatchett with like a 76.
Well, Persimmon Ridge is crazy. You know, over the years, I mean, it's such a historic golf course. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I know your ties there, Cousin Teague, with Uncle Todd being the primary
the
shaper.
Namesake.
Yeah, primary shaper on that golf course and had a lot to do with building that and the development that it is. And it is a fantastic, you know, home development. Still is. Homes are being built everywhere out there where they were going to build 36 holes. You know, now it's just a full classic 18. Back in the day, though, when you were hitting mid irons and long irons into those greens, that golf course was formidable.
Man, I looked this up last night. How much you think it cost to join that place in 1989?
I saw that on Facebook. It was good.
Take a guess.
I don't remember.
$15,500.
Yeah. Well,
I saw it on Facebook.
It
must be true, Teague.
Well, no, look, man. I mean, they built it to rival Valhalla a little bit.
Now, the reporter who wrote that probably was on happy hour at Butchertown Pub, so I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, I tell you, I remember when it was being built, you know, I went out there every day because my dad and my Uncle Jack were the one main people out there doing it. It felt like it was the middle of nowhere.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was nothing around it. And now you look at it, man, that's a bustling area. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely in the middle of nowhere. And like I said, I don't remember what year the Am was. I think the Am was first and then the Open was second. But going out there and playing and feeling like, I mean, I don't even know if did the Gene Snyder even connect then back in those days?
Didn't you
have to get off at Smyrna and then get back on it?
You had to go Shelbyville out to Flat Rock and then Flat Rock, and then you would go past.
Yeah, because there was no
Long
Henry.
Run, you would get out there to Aiken. And what a crazy road that is. I mean, you know, for those who are not from Louisville and Kentucky and have never driven out to Persimmon Ridge off, I think it's Bush Farm Road is where you originally turn on to, then it turns into Aiken. That is absolutely one of the craziest roads in Jefferson County. I mean, you have not only dump trucks, building trucks, lawnmower trucks, concrete trucks, and then you got Porsches that are doing 80 and everybody's texting.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on, bro.
I remember my father worked for a guy a little bit on the side that used to build houses out there. And I remember I was driving a dump truck down Aiken Road one day. I mean, I was 17 years old, shouldn't even been driving this truck, and was going down Aiken, and another dump truck came, and our mirrors hit.
Oh, yeah.
And this glass just, like, that's probably what's wrong with me. It's made me walk.
That's 17. Yeah.
But
you were still in the crash mode coming right off the BMX bike circuit
at
that point in time. So, they're obviously doing some great work over at Persimmon Ridge. I mean, you know, this is going to be a three-time host site. So 3 straight years it's going to be there. They are building a short course that is right next, you know, behind the tees of 110 and 8 and kind of in this little area and on the side of number 9. Haven't came up with a cool name for it yet, but I'm sure they will. Hmm. But there's going to be 3 new tee boxes there, 110 and 8. And if the tee boxes were to just get strategically placed on a couple of those par 4s, you could still have a great golf course to where you have the scoring opportunities where the, you know, it's a 2-iron wedge on hole number 7 or something like that. But, you know, you put the 5-iron back in somebody's hand hitting into those greens or the 6-iron and get a couple of tees on 13.
Yeah.
Hole number 17, which I always thought was one of the great holes, par 4s, kind of got dog legs down the left. I mean, now that's a 3-wood wedge, Joey.
Yeah.
It's a 3-wood wedge, Paul. It's a flick.
I remember hitting.
They shot 65 with, I mean, you know, and flicking it.
Did you see the stats of how many eagles there were?
No.
I got to give the Kentucky Golf Association some credit now. They take a bunch of pictures. They put a bunch of stats.
Oh, yes. They've
Golf
done
genius.
A fantastic
Ethan
job with
Fisher,
their social.
Ethan right. Fisher's the best thing that's ever happened to the KGA. And they put up all these stats. I was reading them last night, and it was like, I mean, the place 18. Obviously, what do y'all think the hardest hole was to play out there? It's not hard to figure out which one it was. I mean, it's got the craziest green ever. It used to have two tees on two different sides.
Oh, number four?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number four played the hardest? Yeah, only par three on the front nine?
Yeah, but guess what hole played the easiest, obviously?
18. No,
three and 18, I think.
Three and 18, yeah, par fives, yeah. Right.
But three.
What was the hardest par four? Did you see that?
I didn't.
Well, I'm very fortunate, you know, the Golf Academy being at Persimmon Ridge and being able to have access for our student athletes that come and learn the game of golf on that golf course because of the green complexes, it really does enhance the kids' developments and understanding of how to play a proper shot. And so you see, you know, we're kind of like playing it all the time. You know where the hard ones are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You just don't know how the golf course is set up. And, you know, I'll be interested to see how number 5 and number 13 and number 17, which I've always felt are the four best – or, you know, three of the four best par fours on that golf course.
Well, 17, I'm under the spider tree. I don't even know what that hole looks like. I mean,
number 9
is that tree still there?
The
is that tree?
I mean, I would think that number 9 playing through the chute
is still –
It's gotten tight. Yeah, I mean, that has gotten tight. But
I'm going out there after –
the Kentucky Golf House, you know, and what I was going with that, you know, Lauren Just and her family and Elmore Just donated the land for the Kentucky Golf House. It's right there. You've been over there and walked through it, the museum and the golf history from the bluegrass. I mean, Gabe Brewer's Masters is in there, a Masters trophy, all the Ryder Cup memorabilia, all the historical.
You got Larry Gilbert's
players,
golf clubs.
The Hall of Fame list and what they've done with all those in recognition. I mean, it is such a fantastic building. And it's one that if you really like the game of golf, that you probably ought to go by and see at some point in time.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, a lot of people don't know what's out there. I've posted it up quite a few times. But, you know, if you're out in the area, stop in there. It's free. You just walk in there. Sometimes nobody's in there. And just look around. It's absolutely – if you love – the history of local golf here in Kentucky. I mean, it's definitely
right. And I mean, you know, and it's only growing. I mean, you know, and as we go forward with all the great players that are coming from the junior tours and what the Kentucky PGA has done in growing the game of golf and through the junior golf associations and some of our fellow golf professionals, Chris Reddle, who is a PGA professional, who is done an absolutely unbelievable job.
He has done a good job with that.
Absolutely unbelievable.
He runs the Bluegrass Tour, right?
I mean, the Bluegrass Junior Golf Tour. And I would highly encourage any of our listeners or anybody that is interested to get into the game of golf and learn a competitive format to start there. I mean, it is such a it's a great transition into it with the maximum score rules. And he just has done a tremendous job growing the game of golf. So, you know, golf in Kentucky is – strong, always has been.
I mean, we've had some.
Always has been.
We've had some great players.
And I'll say Kentuckiana and include Fuzzy.
Yeah, you got to include Fuzzy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, it looks like the game is in good hands with a lot of juniors. A lot of young, really good players are doing really well in this Kentucky Open. You normally don't see that. You normally see these Kentucky Opens are kind of your seasoned guys that are pros that have been around and played a little bit. But man, when you look at the top of this leaderboard. Look at all the youth there.
Well, and I think it's where you see the transition into it. And Ryan even kind of alluded to that, you know, on the Monday Q guy when we had him on a couple, you know, 10 days ago, whatever it was. You know, those guys are used to shooting under par now. And, I mean, in Teague, when they show up, that's what they do.
Well,
you know, they know how to shoot 68, and they learn it at a young age. I mean, you can see it on the top of the leaderboards in the junior golf programs. The Tour Championship was just at Honey Creek and the junior thing. And, I mean, you got a 10-year-old that's shooting under par.
You know,
posting
we were on the phone with Corey just before we got on. And Corey Kaufman's Josh's partner over at the Golf Academy.
He's my life partner.
Y'all keep talking. I got to take his phone call.
I'll take that phone call.
Oh, look at my business.
Let's go. He's got a lube. I got to take his call, get a lube, dog.
But so Corey made the comment. He said, yeah, it was one of your old guys. He goes, I got to follow him around and figure out why he shot that score. And I'm sitting here. I'm not going to say what the score was or who it is so you can figure it out.
But it was only a couple over points.
I was like, oh, my God, that's a great score. Right. But he was, like, pissed that the guy, right. Guys expect these kids to go low.
Well, we train them to do that, and I appreciate you saying that. I mean, and that is part of our academy development, and one of the things that we've really, Corey and I have looked at from the beginning when we first partnered together and started kind of doing the golf academy at Oxmoor Country Club when I was a head professional, and he was my director of golf, quote unquote, kind of like I'm his director of instruction now.
This idea was started a long time ago.
But, the training programs and what we have implemented and being able to have these kids, it's just like any other sport and endeavor. If you're all in, you're all in, and you're going to learn how to score. I mean, and the principle of golf is, yes, technique is very important. You got to hit the ball straight. But you got to get the ball in the hole.
That's it. You got to score.
And even there, to what his point was, that was a great score. It's two over par. But, that kid has the potential of being, way better than that.
Yeah.
And where are those two strokes? Because the difference between plus two and even?
Yep. That's playing the extra day.
Right. That's playing the extra day. That's exactly right. That's playing the extra day. And that's like on a Monday Q school or Monday qualifiers or college qualifiers or – going to, a Q school and moving on, that's playing the extra day. You got to make those pars. You got to find out where those one or two strokes are. And when it boils down to it, Teague, I mean, at that level, it's always chipping and putting. I mean, your strokes gain is in and just everything that's come out of that.
Sure.
But it's still just, where's that chip and putt at?
I remember some of my better events kind of my college days and right after my college days. I hit the ball. Actually, an event that I met was the medalist in, lost in a playoff in college. It's a big event. Georgia Tech was in it, huge event. I hit the ball horrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't hit the ball good at all, but I made everything on the putting green.
Right.
And it makes a world of difference. I mean, that's what it is.
The putter's the equalizer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and so, I think that you'll see over this weekend, I said Corey and I were talking in regards to the Kentucky Open. I think that, it will probably be 13 to 15 under par is going to be what wins it in
which
the
is wild
days.
When you're thinking
especially
of Persimmon
Ridge.
Ridge.
And I think that, hopefully they're out there charting and seeing where some of these balls land on hole number five. And, I drop all the great par fours that are out there. And if they can get some of that tee length back, that golf course will, again, just quickly bounce up the leaderboard in the rankings. And I got to say, I did – actually, we do get listeners, which is very important. Somebody was like, hey, Josh, how'd you leave off? How all three of you guys leave off Country Club, Paducah Country Club off our top list. Have you ever played Paducah Country Club?
I haven't.
Sure Joey's been down there.
Which is, that's a really good point. They're actually a client of mine.
It is.
So I've been there. I've
course.
Been there several times.
It is a good golf course.
And I've never played it, so that's probably why I left it off. But, man, that place is nice. And
it
the tennis
nice.
Facility they have there, gosh, everything they do there is just top-notch.
Right. It is top-notch. And, it is a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of great holes out there. And I don't know if I sentimentally put Seneca on there, but if I did, I'm going to take him out. Because I know it's not better at J-Town National, though.
That's right.
So, definitely look forward to recapping the Kentucky Open and all the TGA student athletes. I got Clay Amlong overall, so I'm going with the leader. I'm going to take one of the TGA guys, low pro Mitchell Moore, going with another guy who's joined the Golf Academy and all the great work that he has done down in Hopkinsville or in Kentucky. I mean, he's a Teacher of the Year. One of the goals that we have, personally now I'm plugging the Golf Academy right now, sponsored by the Golf Academy, is to continue to put together a network of coaches that are looking to get kids to the next level.
Okay.
And how they're going to do it is through, our concept of let's ball out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here's what you got to do. And you're going to do it. And everybody's at a different stage in this game. And sometimes it just hits, and as playing competitively, and as Joey knows, being in the ropes as a caddy, we all know that, golf is hard, and you're going to have peaks and valleys, and how can you walk and level out and make those two strokes and shoot even par? That's the key.
I tell you what I needed when I was playing, because I had all the opportunity. Opportunity is huge, right? Having the opportunity to go play and practice, I had that.
Right.
I had the, you know, being a fourth generation and two uncles professionals, my dad being a great player, I had all the tools and I had the skill. What I needed was Betty. I needed the mental piece.
Right.
If I would have had that at a young age, it would have changed everything for me.
Well, she's so good. And you know, and Betty Krager is somebody who has been very involved with the growth of the Golf Academy, you know, and she partnered with Corey. Corey and her kind of got together when they were over at Oxmoor prior. And she has, you know, was a right-hand man, woman,
yep.
Fuzzy Zeller, and teaching for the local community for 40 years. I mean, yeah. And she's still
at one point the top woman player in the world.
Well, and what she has done for the game of golf is incredible. And there's somebody that, you know, we were talking about the Hall of Fame, who I feel like will be in the Hall of Fame
for sure at
some point in time. But, you know, she continues to work with elite athletes in all sports fields. Mm-hmm. I mean, this lady works with people that are in horse racing.
Oh, I know.
I mean, and she, you know, the equestrian, like the ones that are bouncing up and down and doing the little trot horses. And then, you know, she races chariots on the side. I mean, she is like Miguel Jimenez of Kentucky golf and of ladies golf, too.
I had her come do a deal. So I coach a high-end travel baseball team that does really well. We were U-Trip Team of the Year this year. And I had her come in and speak to our team. And it was things about, where do you breathe in when you're pitching?
Right.
What is your breath doing when you're up at the plate? It was things that I'd never thought about. And it was kind of mind-blowing of some of the stuff she put
and
out there.
Some of the stuff that she learns from all these elite athletes. Yep. She was at camp yesterday. You know, I got the camp goods going on. And she told all these little eight-year-olds, how much water are y'all drinking? You know, it's hot as can be here in Louisville, Kentucky. And then she explained to them, you know, the cup and the, you know, the 12 ounces that elite athletes drink. 13 cups of these a day. Yeah. And I mean, and so you're like, wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of water.
You know, and then she goes on and like, and when they pee, they look down and it's clear. It's not dark yellow. And I'm like, you're talking to 9-year olds, Betty. But she is, you know, one of the great things that she does with our student athletes, and we're going to move on right here. But I definitely want to say this. And I always admired this about Betty when I was a head professional, not involved in coaching. She would organize within these tours of how to go about getting recruited, how to go about making a college choice.
Yeah.
And she has done that with not only golfers, but, you know, I met somebody who was a St. X track and field guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it, like,
it's everything.
It's everything.
It's every sport.
It's equestrian. I mean, and she
She has a video series out.
Straight Shot Inc. Hey, this segment is sponsored by Straight Shot Inc.
You're welcome, Betty. But she's got this video series out that's incredible. If you've got a kid who wants to figure out how to play college sports, you need to look into it, because she helps you kind of take that roadmap, and she guides you
the right direction. And again, quickly, she will be in the Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
No doubt.
And deserves it with everything she does.
Nominate her?
Huh?
Sorry about that. That was a gentleman's club telling me.
Is that right, David?
Was that Rustic Frog?
No, it was not Rustic Frog.
If you want to close out this debit card,
leave your wallet.
That was the Olympic Committee, like, Joey, guess what? On channel 99999, there is the Olympic pole dancing.
No,
you could get that on Spectrum.
Hey,
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Listen.
I'm telling my Rustic Frog story.
We will get there.
So, well, anyway. Did you nominate her for the Hall of Fame?
We're going Betty.
Is she in the local?
She are.
Hey, who are you taking for Kentucky Open? We already got Josh's pick.
I'm going Brendan Doyle, man. I'm going Brendan Doyle.
That kid can play. I'm going to go with one of my old buddies, a guy that I came up playing with that's lurking right now. He's actually out. He's 2-under today, so I got a little bit of a insight. I'm going with Brandon Brown.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, Brandon can play. Yeah. Shelbyville boy, ain't he?
Yep.
Yeah, hit Shelbyville boy. And
played a lot
of
him.
Is it in Shelby County or is it in Odom County?
It's,
or Jefferson County?
There's actually part of it in Shelby County and there's part of it in Jefferson County.
You remember it was in Jefferson County.
Is one part of Shelby County dry?
Not anymore. But, okay. I mean,
There used to be a time when there was.
Always. There was always a little looper box to where you'd go over and be like, oh, I'm going to get me a little Jack Daniel.
You can't drink on hole 3, but once you get on the green, you know, you can.
Hey, this is a good segue. We're talking about drinking. Joey, did you see the Grayson Murray tweet?
No, I didn't.
So Grayson Murray is a tour player.
Okay.
He's been out there for the last, I think, 8 years and maybe 5 years. Well, he came out.
I'm just glad we're not talking about my drinking.
Bashing the PGA Tour because it's made him an alcoholic.
Wow. Well, I could see that.
Because it's so, because he's like, really? I got to pay my caddy every week. I got to pay my travel. I got to pay my entry fee. And
then maybe if you stop buying alcohol, you'd have money to do that.
That's easy solution right there, Pods.
It was interesting because it was this whole thing. And he's like,
I got a caddy story.
Hadn't helped me at all. And, you know, it's turned me into an alcoholic. You ought to see the comments. Like, you know what,
dude? Are they just calling him a...
Come trade with me at my factory job.
Yeah.
Right.
And let's see how much better that is.
When you're putting car parts on at Ford, you're an alcoholic. Right. I mean, you know. I got a caddy story for you, a guy I used to caddy for. All right. So there's nothing like, I mean, it wasn't a staff bag because it was kind of a buy.com tour type thing. So not like you're carrying staff bags because who in the hell's watching?
Sure.
So I used to have to carry around a bag of oranges. You want to know what was in the oranges?
Vodka.
You take and shoot them up with a syringe.
Sure.
And just let the, I mean, they would get big and fat, so they would get real heavy. I wouldn't carry the whole bag. There might be 8 or 10. Well, I guess there's 8 or 10 in a bag. Let's just say it was heavy. And used to take vodka and just sit there and just pump them full of vodka and just eat them on a golf course. Yeah. I didn't. He did.
Yeah.
But so maybe it's the same guy. No, it wasn't him. But I'm just saying, hey, look, you want to be an alcoholic? Play on the old buy.com tour. That'll make you alcoholic.
I mean, you know, and it's just the daily grind. I mean, I like what you said there, Teague. I mean, you know, he got bashed by everybody.
Well, he should get bashed by everybody. Why would you even tweet some stuff? I mean, I've tweeted some dumb stuff in my life.
I tell you what it is. I guarantee you the guy came from privilege. Yeah, I'm sure he's never worked a day in his life. He's got a ton of talent.
What's his name again?
Grayson Murray.
With a name like that, he's got a ton of talent.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, man, you are missing reality here, bud.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck to him. Hopefully he gets his drinking under control. I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, make some cuts too, bro.
Exactly.
So I'll help you.
And he's talking about how he hadn't made a cut in two years or something. It's like, well, I mean.
And he's blaming the PGA Tour for his drinking problem.
Because they haven't
helped
him.
Well, you know what? That's the problem. And I'm sorry if anybody out there is an alcoholic, you want to shoot me, but. Most alcoholics are selfish people, and they just want to blame everybody else anyway. So, I mean, excuse me if that offended anybody, but I'm just.
Well, I mean, that's why they know that.
I mean,
they fix themselves.
Well, hopefully he does fix it. Hopefully he does. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I got half the world coming at me right now.
No, that's all right.
Or at least eight or ten people here.
The ones that do it, and I mean, hopefully
that's why you carry a bag of weed in your bag.
Oh, there you go again! My God, getting a sensor. We were just on Apple Podcasts. Here we were on Apple Podcasts. I know we're in the bluegrass. I know you're an old looper. You had to step away. I mean, it's weird.
I'm probably the only.
He's having these phone calls. Hey, Pods, I gotta go real quick. I mean, my gosh, man. Oh, yeah. And then he was gone. Did you hear the door ring? I mean, he might have went out there.
Let's move on.
So, hey, we haven't talked, and we're going to quickly wrap this up because, I mean, there's a lot of things that we got to do today. But we haven't talked about the Open Championship at Royal St. George's. It was a fantastic win, an American one. Colin Morikawa, who is obviously playing some of the greatest golf in the last year. I mean, he has had some big wins through the COVID and coming into it. And Louis Oosthuizen putting himself into position again, coming up runner-up. What did you guys think of that? Did you make out of it? One thing that was really disappointing about this Open Championship is
it was the
Scottsdale Open.
It was the Scottsdale Open.
It was global warming at its truest effect right there.
Yeah,
I mean, although you get the quirks and the bounces over there, and Royal St. George's is one of the bounciest golf courses on the Open rotations.
Yeah,
I tend to find a lot of people don't like Morikawa.
How do you not? Is it because everybody talks about he's the next Tiger? But
I don't know. I like the guy.
I don't like that. I think everybody wants to be the next Tiger. Oh, well, Justin Thomas is the next Tiger. Jordan Spieth was the next Tiger.
Nobody's
going to
be the next Tiger. Remember when they were like, Scott Verplank's going to be the next Nicklaus.
Hey, I mean, Colin Morikawa has some he has some pedigree. I mean, this guy's a four-time first-teamer All-American in the NCAA. He's won two out of his
first
four.
He's the youngest to ever win two.
Right.
Majors.
I mean, he's
young.
I mean,
really?
He
young.
Is
how old is he?
22.
He's straight out of college.
Look, I mean, I like this guy.
That was his fourth major, and he's won two of them.
Two out of four. You're right. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's real solid.
But I heard
that's
so many people
playing.
Like, I don't like this guy. I'm like, well, how can you not like?
Well, it was, I mean, you know, what he did is he played a very tactical game, and that's what you need to play in the Open Championship, yeah. especially when you're
there. He's such a good iron player.
Yeah, and Utah's in, I mean, again, you know.
How do you not like
kinda that? Guy, he kind of got wayward with his driver again. I mean, he, you know, that has cost him him every tournament going back to when he was partnered at the New Orleans with his boy.
Do you know what he shot final day?
On
at the Open?
Mm-hmm. Utesen.
74,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I don't know.
One over. Yeah, that's one choke over. City, man. He had that thing won.
What did he shoot on the final day at the next week at the 3M? I mean, he shot 65. He came back in. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I like about him.
I think
you know,
he needs to blame the PGA
Tour. He just kept on playing.
For his runner-up finish.
His runner-up
their
finish.
Fault.
I mean, can but Colin Morikawa, I mean, what he's been able to do, and now, you know, he's on the Olympic team. And before we get into all the Olympic stuff, I mean, you know, we've had all these withdrawals back through COVID. You've had also two.
I mean, there for a minute,
of,
I thought you were going to get a phone call.
Well, no, not yet. But I mean, you know, withdrawals coming from the gymnastics. I mean, that was crazy in itself last night.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that was drama.
That
and
poor girl's getting bashed on.
Well,
Twitter.
I know it's just like you're about ready to get bashed or get arrested. I mean, I don't know which one's going to come first. But I mean, hey, you know, I got a loop dog. I got to go. But you know, I think that like Colin Morikawa
was too much Mexican last night
coming in, and you know, and all the COVID stuff. I mean, John Rahm. Let's talk about John Rahm. Are you kidding me, Pearl?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What are you
oh
doing?
God. I mean, let's.
How does
like,
John Rahm have this?
Yeah.
This is the third time, bro. What's in Spain?
Get vaccinated.
I mean, no, he's been vaccinated.
Are you sure?
He said he. Well, yeah, yeah.
So then they get the Delta.
So let me ask you: if he's been vaccinated, why are they testing him? I thought they stopped testing everybody that was vaccinated.
Well, they keep on testing.
No, the Olympics are testing everybody.
Oh, because
but I mean, you know, in the sense of,
you know,
like,
I think would they say that they should? Who else went through?
Well,
Bryson
and Jason Bowe.
Somebody said that they should put Rahm and Bryson with the two Chinese guys over there and give them that stuff because that's where it came from. They're gambling.
This guy, loopers for life. We will no longer be podcasted on Apple. Nor anyway. You're
hey,
just...
so the Olympic story of the week for me is the Sungjae Im and the Siwoo Kim story.
Oh, no doubt, Teague.
That's the story.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on there, Jay?
Yeah, they'll end up in the military. If they, now, look, here's the deal. We're coming down the stretch, and I'm playing this guy. I'm hitting three in the water just so he ain't got going to military.
Sungjae Im
tell the story
done,
so our listeners
know. Has already done his military time.
No, but both of them in the same boat. So if it takes it a medal for either one of them to avoid an 18-month military
right
mandatory service,
right.
which I mean, could possibly ruin their career.
And Siwoo Kim
oh, for
is
sure.
the one. I mean, you know, and he's been playing in the best out of the two. And obviously, Sungjae Im has some pedigree from a couple of years prior.
Both are great.
But, I mean, yeah, they're both playing well. And, I mean, you know, and all the pressure that's not only, you know, to go forward from that, but just think about all the Asians that are over there. I mean, Japan has, you know, Hideki Matsuyama, and his tie to this golf course is huge. I mean, you know, he's had two wins that have been really, you know, what made him a major winner. To put him into that category. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine the pressure on that. But at the same time, there's no greater chance to get it done. I mean, you're kind of in your home area. And I think it's going to work out well for him. I definitely see Siwoo Kim getting a bronze.
So
I got him getting a bronze. So, I mean,
I'm going to be pulling for
one of those. Well, no, let's talk a little bit about the Japanese history of the game of the golf. I mean, you know, we're gonna spend about five more minutes right here, and then we'll pick and we'll roll this thing out and get out of here and start our day. But, you know, this golf course, it's Kasumigasaki Country Club. Is one of the oldest clubs in Japan.
You pronounced that right?
Yeah, I mean,
did you really?
Know, I did.
How long did you practice that?
I didn't. I
he was in the car going, how's it pronounced?
Kasumigasaki.
He was in the car, Kasumigasaki, looking in the mirror.
That's right. So it's a classic golf course. It's from, you know, it was built in 1929. So, I mean, you know, their ties to the British, you know, as being a colonized, you know, British basically went over and colonized the whole Asian continent over there. With their Navy back in the day. But this place was redesigned by a guy who is C.H. Allison, and he was a main partner of the Holt McKenzie Allison firm that built all the great golf courses of the world, really. I mean, and so this golf course is a top 50 in the world, got ranked in 1978. Tom Fazio has came in and redesigned this place. But it has historic ties to just the growth of the game of Asian community. And really cool fun fact about this, and I definitely will watch this over the weekend before leading up to the final round, there was a big three that was played there in 1967.
Oh, yeah. I actually Nicholas. Seen that on YouTube.
Did you see?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to watch
it. So I'm going to go back and watch it. Just
yeah, and so they course. Say that this Allison guy is kind of like, you know, he was the McKinsey of the of Asia. And, like, McKinsey went to America and kind of went to Australia. This guy stayed in Asia. Okay. And, you know, and Allison built some of the great golf courses in England. So really it's going to be a great look and a tremendous test. I mean, they've 7,600 yards, 71, no cut this week. Yep. So again, that's a big thing. You have 60 players that are in the field. Again, no team competition, but everybody's wearing the stars and stripes and whatever. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great golf tournament.
Nice.
It's going to be something to watch. And so I'm excited to see this place. I mean, you know, they've held, for everybody, you know, that I alluded to earlier, and if you don't know, they held the Asian Amateur, the Pacific Asian Amateur. I think it was the first one, and that was where Hideki Matsuyama won and came to, you know, Augusta the following year in 2011 and finished as the low am.
Hmm.
So he's got some feel-goods coming, and he could have one of the biggest years ever of any Asian that has ever played the game of golf.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, with a Masters win and a gold medal.
It'd be awesome.
I mean, could you imagine that?
He'd be a hero over there.
No doubt. And so, you know, getting into the field this week and you look at it, I mean, you know, you're playing for country.
Yeah.
You know, definitely this is a golf course. If you have some local knowledge, it's going to play off. I mean, you know, back they hosted the Canadian Cup way back when, like in 1955. I was like,
man,
you've
done some.
I always do
here,
some research on this.
But, his research is always this, and I show up.
Yeah,
with a bottle of water.
You know what? I mean,
and then I pick a guy who don't even play in the British Open.
Right. Canada Cup.
And that was a joke, by the way.
The Canada Cup. The Canada Cup is something that was now is the World Cup, and I mean, and it was one of and so the team of Snead and Demerit, who had 10 majors going into this, got beat by a Japanese team.
Who was the players? Come on.
You had to do your
research.
I got
to
get my phone out. Huh?
Good luck pronouncing.
Oh, yeah. I got it right there. So, I mean, it was Japan. It was Nakayama and Ono. Yeah.
Yoko.
Who is the greatest Japanese player ever played?
Jumbo Osaki.
Yep.
Ah, oh, nice answer.
Yep, that would nice. Be my
Tommy view. Nakajima and Jumbo Osaki.
Jumbo's the only one I knew.
Asoi Aoki is the only one that has ever won on the PGA Tour.
Really?
The only one.
You mean Jumbo never won?
Jumbo never won
wow.
on the PGA Tour. Asoi Aoki was
I've
the
actually
first
got a set of Mizuno.
1983 Hawaiian Open.
Really? Yeah. He is the only Japanese
he
guy?
He was the first, yeah. And
that's crazy.
Could
now,
you imagine showing up? That guy shows up on the putting green with that. Put with that.
How about Jumbo though? I mean, Jumbo was such a good.
Oh,
story
Jumbo
back
was.
In the day.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
you don't know Jumbo, you gotta look this
the
guy.
First
up.
Big driver was the Jumbo. I mean,
that's
seriously,
right? Was that a Wilson?
No, it was Mizuno. Might have been not. I don't
it
know.
It was a Mizuno. It was. He was a Mizuno.
I'd have
guy.
To look it up, but I've actually got a set of TN87s at home, Mizunos, which were Tommy Nakajima, but whatever. They're basically MP29s. They just put.
Well, Jumbo Osaki had 94 wins on the Japanese tour. So, I mean, 94. You know, he 94 and Asoi Aoki had 51. So he was the second. And then you come in Nakajima. And then what about Osaki's little brother?
Yeah. I mean, give me a second. What was it?
Huh?
What was his name?
Naomi.
Was it Naomi?
Yeah.
Really?
Naomi Osaki. Something different. So.
Listen to y'all pronounce on this.
Hey, we got more coming. I can't wait. This is fun. I mean, you know, but this golf course is.
I mean,
a
I would have thought it was
course.
Dumbo, Osaki, and Jumbo.
Dumbo,
it's Jumbo, though. I mean,
no.
He was
no
the
how I mean, that guy was. That guy was cool.
He always played it, cool. And he always made the leaderboards at the
yeah.
Open too. I mean,
and he played well at the Masters one
yeah,
year too.
He did
yeah.
play well at the Masters. So, yeah. And you know, and this is like. Obviously, the dominance of the sport for the women's side and not having it on the men's side, but having some big things, kind of like what we were talking about with South Korea team.
Oh yeah,
I mean this is going to be a good event, and I'm really excited.
I'm intrigued, man.
I'm excited.
I mean, so who do you think has the best? Who are you picking? How about that? I'm curious who you think the best American is going to be, the top finishing American.
Well, we got four, and we had Patrick Reed come in as a quick sub. So he's Captain America coming in. And, you know, you got JT, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, yep. And Patrick Reed.
Right.
You look at it across the board right there. Obviously, the homer in me is going to say, JT, let's bring us back in the
bluegrass. He said all the right things.
And he has performed in no-cut events better than anybody in this field.
Okay.
He has 9 of his 14 wins have come in no-cuts, something like that. Or excuse me, 4 of his 9 wins have come in no cuts.
Interesting.
Yeah. This guy does his homework, man.
Yeah.
I gotta get on the ball here.
9 of his 14
wins have come in no cut
events. And he's had four wins in Asia.
Okay.
He's had four wins in Asia. So this guy plays well over there, adjusts to the time.
Wow, that's interesting.
I want to see it. I want to see this guy.
You're
get
swaying
back.
Me.
So, JT, yeah. I mean, that's a huge fact. I mean, you know, and I mean, those are these that's coming in now. I mean, you also got to factor in, too, both the two other guys, Xander and Colin Morikawa, both had Japanese descent.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and so they're kind of playing a home game.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's going to be hard to pick against him. And honestly,
picking the whole field?
I am not. No, I am picking the whole field, but I'm going to say this. I want JT to win it.
Yeah.
I personally feel like Xander is going to be the best one, and he's going to make a step, and he's going to be the low American. That's my pick.
Shoffley's my pick as well.
Shoffley's your pick? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going with Reed just because he hates everybody. Everybody hates him.
He's such a good replacement. If they couldn't – I mean, the world picked a great replacement for Bryson DeChambeau, do they not, Joey?
Look.
I mean
– yeah. I want to see Justin win.
Of course. Right?
I'm going with Reed just because nobody likes him. He doesn't like anybody. It's an individual – Olympic, hey, I'm Captain
He's
America.
Let's just shove it in everybody's face.
I also think the Canadians are going to do well. Corey Connors is my guy.
I mean, you picked him during the Open Championship, and he had a T15.
Corey Connors is going to do well. And then there's I think he's from China, Carl. I wonder if that's his actual name. Carl Yuan, Y-U-A-N. He's actually a Korn Ferry Tour player, does really, really well out there. He's got some ties to the golf course. I think he'll do well, too. He's my long shot.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to look at it, and I'm going to go with somebody that's in that way. And what I mean by that, they're on that wave from Asia to Australia, going with the best mullet in the field. I mean, an unbelievable gold pitcher opportunity, Cameron Smith from Australia. He's been playing fantastic golf throughout the year. I think he's got that Aussie mentality that they kind of – you know, have played over on these tours and has these feels for these type of golf courses and can handle that hot heat that's going to be hot and humid. I mean, you know, that's what they've been forecasting. So I like Ozzy. I like the Ozzy right there, Cam Smith with the mullet.
The catcher.
I like Cam Smith.
I do too.
The catcher on my baseball team.
He's growing
a mullet. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, no. It's a sophisticated mullet.
That's what he's got going on.
It's called a sophisticated mullet.
Well, how do we define a sophisticated mullet?
I'm not sure.
It's a mullet. When you got a sophisticated mullet, that just means you don't peg your jeans. Is that how
I don't know what it means.
Hey,
but
that means
that's the mullet Smith's got going on.
Don't cut the jeans out. So, you know, I definitely think Cam Smith's going to play well this week.
I like him.
And I kind of like that Corey Connor.
Yeah, he's steps up in big events. And
yes, he has.
I mean, I'm going with these two guys so they don't get themselves killed in the military. But
You know what? It'd be hard to root against them, honestly.
I mean, I'm telling you, I know this is unpatriotic, unsportsmanlike.
You know what's
awesome? I'm coming down the stretch, and I got to make a putt to beat one of these guys. I'm going to toe jam it and misread it.
That ain't going to happen, though.
I know it's not. I'm going to give you a sleeper. And, again, you know, my sleepers are always the – you can't buy them for anything, but I mean, I think Rory McIlroy plays well this week, and the reason being is that he declined in 2016 when it was at Rio. This is his first Olympic appearance. I think he's playing for Ireland. I don't know if it's Northern Ireland or Ireland, but I mean, whatever he's doing, I would say his form has been off. He hasn't had that big win, but you know, this is his time of year.
Such a great swing to watch.
Such a good player.
I'd love to see him get back
this in
the
form.
This
is a big boy golf course. You got to drive it, and you got to hit it into the – you know, it's a second-shot golf course. I mean, that's what they say. Allison, you know, he was famous for second-shot golf courses and big, huge bunkers that look, you know, wide and tall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it'll be good TV, and I would say he's going to play well this week, and it would be a name that, you know, I'm going to go with. So, my top three in the medals, I'm going to give you right here. Xander Schauffele, right? Hideki Matsuyama wins the gold. And then I'm going to go with on the bronze pick is going to be Siwoo Kim. That's where I'm going.
Didn't he just say he was going to take Rory?
No, I said I was.
He's already
take
picked
Cam
the
Smith.
Whole field.
I said I was going to take Cam Smith.
What we're going to do is we're going to start copy and pasting the whole field and just put it up here.
That's right. Put them up
and then just be like, these
there.
Are Josh's picks.
I'm going with Hideki though, making it.
I'm going with the two guys who need to avoid the
there
military.
You go. Good stuff.
And then I'm going to go with Patrick Weed. Ends up winning the gold medal, and the whole world hates him because one of these guys. Do they got to win just a silver, or they got to win a bronze or a silver?
Yeah,
to keep from going in the military.
They got a medal.
Yeah, okay, all right.
One of the top three.
Somehow Patrick Reed's going to screw this up, and then,
let's go.
Then we're going to end up just a week of Twitter, and then everybody, and then somebody's going to blame the PGA. This one guy's going to blame the PGA Tour, and it's just
like,
going to
why was Pat Reed in there? This guy.
It's going to be like, you let Patrick Reed in, this guy can't get in the military. Actually, it's going to be Patrick Reed's going to – it's something crazy is going to happen.
Patrick Reed's going to be the reason these two guys
something like
go,
that. And somebody's going to get a cease and desist letter. I mean, this is going to be
best
a –
the thing about it, it's going to be Pat Reed. He's going to call a penalty on one of those guys.
Yeah, see, that's what's going to – yeah, it's going to be that. He's going to be like, you move the sand back or something. Something controversial is going to happen here. And it's going to involve Patrick Reed.
All right. So I'm taking Shoffley, I'm taking Thomas Peters, and I'm taking Corey Connors.
All right. There you go. There's your top three. We got his top
now,
two.
Now, my guys are playing that I did pick,
Clay
right?
Amlong, okay. You got Brandon Doyle.
Is Camino Vajegas playing?
No, he is not playing.
We're coming back on Amlong, Doyle, and Brown on the Kentucky Open. Everybody, thank you very much for listening to Game 14 Loopers for Life. We really appreciate it. We're growing. You could check us out on our media pages. Loopers for Life on Facebook. We got Loopers for Life on Twitter. We're on Apple Podcasts. Go ahead, Teague. What else are we doing?
All right. So this one time I was at Rustic Frog, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. I'm,
No. Tell it.
I can't.
Ribbit.
I didn't even know. I thought that place was like a restaurant. I didn't even know.
Ribbit.
Yeah. Ribbit. A $2.99.